Well, welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, discipleship podcast about parenting, or a parenting podcast about discipleship, whichever way you want to call it. My name is Tim Rose, and I am here today again, as always, with my astute, hardworking colleague, Matthew Wilbanks. Matt, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing all right. I don't know if astute and hardworking have ever been used to label me, but hey, I'll take it when I can get it. I'm doing all right. I'm still running 100 miles an hour trying to get my summer semester done, and then this weekend I'll get 2 days off. And then starting Tuesday next week, I am back in class.
There you go.
But this will be my last year, Lord willing, at Southwestern Seminary. I've been here too long.
Amen. Yes, you have.
But no, we're planning. We're getting ready for this upcoming year. Hardcore planning mode. We're as a church, we just have released a vision, which is the first time, surprisingly, that Long Branch has actually had a clear vision set forth. We as a staff have been working for about a month, off and on through emails and meetings, to put together something that we can move forward in. And I'm excited to be a part of a church that actually wants to grow and looks at our situation and says, what can we do to further impact Midlothian for the kingdom? And I'm excited for that. Been a part of stagnant churches a long time in my life. So a church that's like, hey, we need to do something. It's a nice thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Oh, show.
Yep. But how is your summer coming to a close?
Well, this thing, it's closed now. Mm-hmm. So our students go back to school this week and next week. We have no Wednesday night activities this current week that we're on. So I'm actually taking Wednesday and Thursday off.
Ooh.
And then I'm taking Monday off as a personal day. But don't worry. Don't worry, pod fam. We record these on Mondays, and I will be recording this on Monday. That'll be about the only thing that I do on that day. Mary has an in-service for her teaching. And man, I don't know if you've ever had 2 1.5-year-olds running around an office, but it is not conducive for 8 hours of work insanity. So I just said, I'll take a personal day and I will stay at home with my kids. Mm-mm. And I'll probably enjoy that more than any work that I could have done anyway. Kind of like you. This time of year, because students are getting into school, which is going to lead us eventually into our discussion today. But because students are getting into school, the youth groups don't do a ton right now. Like, we start meeting, but we're not trying to do a ton. So this is a big planning period. Mm. I've got my first sermon series complete. So I have all of those sermons done. The only things I have to do with them are just, you know, tie up the loose ends. Decide how I want to say certain phrases or whatever. So I have got my sermons done through September the 13th.
Dang.
And so now I am working on the second series, and the hope is, well, I'm not going to get much done this week because I only work 2 weeks this week, but or 2 days this week, but probably by the middle of August, I should have probably through October the 11th or 18th. Completed. Nice, good stuff. We're, you know, working a lot on what next summer looks like and all that fun. And in the meantime, as I said last week, football has started. So I watched the horrible game that is the Hall of Fame game.
Indeed.
But I watched it and just thought, oh, football's back. It's just, there's something glorious about it. So we have coming up. It's funny. I'm off Wednesday through Saturday. And then I'm also off Monday. So, and you would think like, oh, I'm just out of town. Mm. But in our calendar, I put in bold letters, we cannot be out of town on the 13th because our fantasy football draft's on the 13th. Because I think otherwise I would have probably taken the 13th.
Oh my
off
gosh.
Too. But, you know, I have to be there for the fantasy football draft. So I'll work.
Have to is a strong phrase.
I'll work on the 13th. Just to be back for that. Yes. So I am definitely greatly blessed with a woman who says, you know what? That's fine. We'll come back for your stupid reason. Plus, there are many reasons that we need to be back on the 13th, but that was the first one to go on the calendar. probably not the most important, but it was the first one to go on the calendar and the one that determined the vacation.
Oh my God.
Anyway, that all being said, we are not here to talk about my love of football. Today we are here to talk about, this is another one of our episode one of a two-parter. So next week you'll get part two. But this week is part one, and it's discussing kind of going back to school, mm-hmm. but really like how we understand both our positions as parents, but then also our kids' positions in being missionally minded in the school. And so this week we're going to talk about really what your role as a parent is. This kind of entire discussion breeds itself from a video that I saw the other day. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, Matt. If not, then I've, you know, griped about it to you personally. But I saw a video. It was a fairly popular Christian organization. And the discussion was essentially, what is the role of parents in, you know, in the community when it comes to schooling? And what their expert, and this is an audio format, so you can't see me putting air quotes around the word expert there. Mm-hmm. But what their expert determined was that as believers, it is our duty to our community that we have to send our kids to public school and have to heavily involve ourselves in the public school because we're believers. That's our Christian duty. And that to send your kid to a private school, to homeschool, to do anything other than that, would just be unchristlike towards your community. And, you know, Matt, it's one of those videos that I'm a guy who, when I see a video that I disagree with, I normally just move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked down and I saw the number of likes and I saw the number of comments that effectively said, thank you for finally saying this. And it at least brought me to say, hey, this is worthwhile of a discussion. So as we look at this, you know, we want to look at numerous aspects. But Matt, first, I want to ask you just on the outset, what are your 10,000 foot thoughts? And then we'll dive into like, are there actual things that as Christ-like parents we should do and that we, you know, how should we operate in a PTO or how should we operate when it comes to other kids' parents in the class? But what's your 30,000 foot view of this, Matt?
Yeah, my 50,000 view, since we keep increasing the hype.
Yeah, I'd like your 75,000 foot view, please.
You got it. My 95,000 mile view is honestly, it's an absurd thing to say that it is necessary we do fill in the blank. Because, I mean, Tim, you know me. My church members know this about me as well. I'm very literal when it comes to scripture. When scripture says, this is what you should do, I'm very much like, this is what I should do. Do I always do it? No, I'm not very good at application, but I'm working on it. but when I look at scripture, when it says go into the world, it doesn't give us a specific, by the world, I mean public school, or I mean, you know, your local politics or whatever. Those are definitely avenues, but they aren't, you know, they aren't necessary. They're a part of your community. They're a part of the world that we live in. But whenever I hear someone make an absolute statement like that, you know, and I know I make them all the time, just, you know, unconsciously. But whenever I hear an absolute statement like that, I always think, what's the heart behind it? And I don't want this to be an episode where we just dog on people who think things like that, because I have my dad and my stepmom, they are very engrossed in their, mm-hmm. in their town. And that's not a bad thing, because I know they're both believers. I know my dad is very much a believer now. And I know that whenever there are certain things that comes up when it comes to religion and Christianity, my dad will be very vocal about that. But I also know that when he looks at me, someone who does not like local, you know, global politics or whatever like that, he doesn't look down upon me, because that's not where my heart lies. And yep. What we have here is we have a form of legalism. When we say, this is what you must do, that is, case in point, legalism. Everything we say in this podcast is not saying, this is your prescription, we're a bunch of doctors here, we're writing on a piece of paper that you can barely read. These are things that we're saying, hey, these are good things that you should think about and consider. I never want anyone to hear this podcast and think, well, this is what I have to do. Because mm-hmm. your context is different from our context.
For sure.
What we talk about is a basic, broad overview of what are certain topics and what are certain things that we see in scripture and in life. And whenever someone makes a statement like this, that you must put your kids in public school and you must be involved in their schooling, that's legalism. And yeah. It shouldn't be avoided, mind you. But it must be taken seriously and think through what's their heart behind it, because they might not be wanting to impose these things on you. They have ideas that are good. They're just not talking about it well. So that's mm-hmm. my 100,000 mile view.
Yeah. And, you know, for clarity, like Matt and I both were publicly educated in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I went to 1 year of private preschool, but forgive me, I don't remember it. So I'm not going to classify it as that significant. The rest of the years were at public school. And so under no circumstance, you know, I also would say I have a difficulty in making definitive statements of application from the Bible to things that did not exist at the time of the Bible. Like that's just, maybe that's a weird thing of mine, but you know, I I'm not a guy who says, therefore the Bible says you must vote this way
mm-hmm.
because no one in the Bible had the opportunity to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just no way the original writer could have thought that. Now, might I imply things? Might I infer things? Of course, but maybe that's just me. But yeah. And so what we want to make clear is that what your situation and what your means are, will often determine what sort of educational situation your kid is in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole separate thing. Not only is that a separate thing in the right of man, we fully respect any decision made there. But that's not necessarily, we're not telling you pull your kids out or put your kids in. That to me is where there's a lot of falsity in the statement. Mm-hmm. Where I think Matt and I agree with the statement is maybe this, which is a more tempered statement itself, which is if your kid is in a school or co-op, for all you homeschool co-op-y parents.
What?
Then there are, I think, Christian obligations that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we want to talk about a little bit. What are those obligations? Well, I think primarily, first, you have an obligation as a parent, if you're in any sort of collective school, to take effort and interest in that which your student does. So, and this may be the very smallest level, but if your kid is in band, at minimum, you need to be going, obviously, to their concerts.
Mm-hmm.
To their things, because by the way, if you don't think that students don't know that, you are out of your mind.
Mm.
All of us knew, just we did. but you need to be making effort to go there. But then you probably need to be asking yourself the question of, hey, could this band or could this football team or could this cheer squad, could it benefit from me being involved in whatever that looks like? Mm-hmm. You know, often what Matt and I see is, regardless of the school, regardless of if it is a lower income school in the middle of downtown Houston, or if it is, you know, Allen High School up north of Dallas with all the money in all the world. Mm. There are kids in each and every group that would benefit greatly from you as a Christian parent showing that, man, you love them. Because there are kids in each and every one of those groups that go home and they never hear it once.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we even hit, like, should I be in a PTO or not? Because those things I think are really secondary. The primary is this: where your kid plants themselves is an opportunity for you to plug in.
Right.
Your kid has already developed a relationship with those kids. There is already an understanding, and you come in not with, oh, I'm some rando walking in, but you come in with saying, I'm so-and-so's mom, I'm so-and-so's dad. That brings a legitimacy to what you're doing. And so let me tell you, like, take the opportunity and say, hey, maybe I'm going to plug in. What that can look like, does that mean you have to be in a booster club? No. That means that your kid's in band, maybe you say, hey, what if I brought some watermelons out? What if I got together with three other parents and we brought some watermelons out during marching band camp? Matt, I don't know if you all ever had that, but those were the best days ever.
Mm-hmm.
You were like, cold watermelon, and they always brought Capri Suns with it. It was dope.
There was one time we had fried chicken catered, and it was both really great and really bad.
I was about to say, see, like, if we have an afternoon outdoor rehearsal, I don't want fried chicken at lunch.
Mm-mm.
Because that's just fried chicken on the football field, and we weren't allowed to throw up on the football field. So right. You had to run 50 yards to throw up. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But it can be small things like this. What it needs to intentionally be, and what I think often parents get distracted with, is that parents feel like it is our job to go have arguments and win wars against other parents. Where in reality, God has gifted you the ability to share the love of Christ with both the kids and the parents.
Mm-hmm.
But often what I find to be true is that your time will be more valuable and you will frankly be more encouraged if you spend that time sharing Christ with the students.
Yep.
Often parents have their minds made up. They're not going to listen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does awesome things and we love it when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But you've already got an in with those kids. I think when it comes to how we deal with, say, parents in this is, man, be the encouragers of Christ's likeness to other parents. But before I dive a little more into that, Matt, what are your thoughts on diving in where your kids are already plugged in?
Yeah. So what I want to kind of address where in scripture it kind of talks about this. You'll normally hear this when it comes to being learned about certain things, but I think a greater way to look at this passage is, what does it look like to be in a situation and use it to your advantage? So in Acts chapter 17, Paul is on his missionary journey. I don't remember which one at this point, but he is stopped in Athens, Greece. And he is talking to the Athenians about God. He does what he does best, and Paul is preaching the gospel. So I want to start in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him, and some said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities, because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus.
There you
and
go.
Said, okay, may we learn about this new teaching you are presenting, because what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these things mean. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent time nothing else but hearing or telling something new. And this is an important thing, because the rest of chapter 17 is Paul is talking about God and presenting it in a way that these people understand. And what, as parents and as volunteers in our kids' things, what we need to see is we need to be able to talk to the other parents and other students that are in these things as well. We need to know what's going on so that we can better share the gospel with them. We can always talk about this in another episode, but one of the best tools of evangelism is not a certain way to do it, a certain script you say. The best tool in evangelism is the flexibility of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit directing you to say? And for Paul, in this instance, being in Athens, waiting to hear back from Timothy, waiting to hear back from Silas and Timothy, he is greatly disturbed that the people he's around don't know who Jesus is. And so he begins to talk to them and explain things in a way they can understand, because these people clearly understand what he's talking about. What is this ignorant show-off trying to say? They're listening. Maybe he seems to be a preacher of foreign deities. Okay, now we're moving in that way. And then other people were like, hey, why don't you spend more time with us so we can really know what you're talking about? Paul is in a certain scenario, in a certain place, and he is talking and engaging with those people. What we need to do moving forward is wherever we're placed, this is the biblical mindset we need to have. How is it that I can better reach these people where I am at this moment? And in Paul's case, when he was in Athens, he knew what to say and how to say it. And then in our case, we need to understand the place that we're in so that we can better not just share the gospel, but minister to other people, so that whenever we do share the gospel, and through our words and our actions — words are more important, but also our actions — that leaves a greater impact to the people that we're serving and serving with.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, that really leads us into, okay, so what obligations do I have when it comes to, do I need to sign up for, you know, whatever? And the answer is quite simply this: like, that's going to end up on what God is actually moving you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you, like, my parents weren't PTO people. I'm not a big PTO guy myself. At private schools, I think it's like mandatory that you do it, but like, that's all depending on what God has for you. You know, what ways that you're going to show Christlikeness to your school is your option. What I agree with, and where I think at the end of the day we share much common ground with that video, is like, if God has called you to be a Christlike witness to the PTO or to whatever organization that is, then it is your job to do so. And we're in agreement that those things need to be Christlike. You know, oftentimes those are the first sort of defense for teaching our kids things that are either of God or not of God. You know, those are oftentimes the entities that'll say, hey, we don't like this curriculum, or we don't like what this is, and we want different things done here. And then they move it on to things such as the school board and others. Mm-hmm. Is God calling you to run for school board? I don't know. Maybe. It's your job as a believer to determine, hey, what is God having me to do? Mm-hmm. What Matt and I know for a fact God's having you to do is this: encourage your student to be a witness, and wherever possible, be a witness. Like, those are just, I mean, Matt, I think that's hallmarks of this podcast, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you're to be a witness and you're to encourage your kids to be a witness and to give them opportunity.
Yep.
Whatever that entails, man, that's God's awesome, perfect, spectacular plan for your life. And that's going to look different from parent to parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people listening to this may say, you know what? This was the kick in my pants I needed to run for school board. And if so, have fun with that. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Some of you may be more like me and you say that is never something I would do. If anything, just for the objection of having more meetings in my life. But you may say, hey, look, this is what I needed to realize that I need to let my kid have other kids over more often so that we can sit down and I can give them food and we can pray.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know what that looks like, but what Matt and I would agree on is this. Number one, your school decision, where you educate your kids and how they're educated is completely up to you. It should be something that you pray on daily. It should be something that you communicate with God with regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your decision. Are there things that we think are required of you? Yes. You can find them in like Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20.
Yep.
That's what's required of you. Is it a necessary pretext as a believer that you have to go to public school so the public schools are better? No. The gospel existed prior to public schools, and it will exist long after public schools.
Mm-hmm.
But where you're planted, I think there's good biblical reason to say grow. Grow there. Show people who Christ is. Will you be at times the odd parent who shares Jesus? Yes. But you know what? I would much rather be labeled by the world as an oddball than labeled by the Lord as someone who didn't work well as a servant. Those words, well done, good and faithful servant, are words that I long to hear. And we don't hear those words if we just send our kids to school, shut off and say, great, now I don't have to deal with that. God has called you to do something for him. And the question is going to be, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a valuable question we need to ask. And that's when it comes to parents, don't worry about the parents who are argumentative, who get under your skin, who frankly think their kid is the greatest gift the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nearly as important. Instead, my mindset is this. My kids will more than likely go to school with multiple people who don't have a parent nearly as invested as me, if they have a dad, if he's even in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And man, what would it look like if all the believers at a school said, I'm going to, like, as much as humanly possible, adopt the kids who don't have dads, adopt the kids who don't have a mom. Maybe you as a mom, just adopt that kid. You know, that has power to share the gospel far better than you arguing in a PTO. And I believe there's a reason, and Matt, you can quote me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe the half brother of Jesus may have said that pure and undefiled religion before God looks like this: to take care of the widows and the orphans in need.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what would that look like if you're a Christian dad listening to this podcast? If you said, you know what, this year I'm going to do, I'm going to love my kid unashamedly. I'm going to support them undoubtedly, but I'm also going to adopt three other kids who don't have dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to let them know that I love them. I'm going to figure out what they're invested in. I'm going to show up even if it means my kid's not in the event, and I'm going to cheer them on like crazy.
Yep.
Man, what would that mean? You dads who have girls who are in dance or something like that, what would it mean if instead of buying one overpriced bouquet of flowers, you bought three and you gave one to your daughter and you said, man, I love you so much. You did great. And then you walked over to two other girls who you knew didn't have dads that were going to do that. And you said, I thought you did amazing. Just want you to know, even though if we're all being honest, none of us understand what happens at a dance recital. Man, do you think that would make an impact? You think that girl who spent her entire life looking up for a father figure, you don't think she would immediately go, wow, this guy's different? And she might just question why. And you might be able to say, you know, I get to be different because God loved me enough to put me in a position and put a brain on me that left me in my kids' lives. And I'm so appreciative for it that I wanted to pass it on to you. I think that's what God's calling us to. And I don't think it necessarily has to be done in a PTO. It doesn't have to be done in public school, but you know what, Matt, I think it has to be done. But Matt, what are your final thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's important that we do get involved in other kids' lives. We've talked about this before in previous episodes, but it's very important that we are able to communicate with our kids' friends, but also with, you know, other kids in their schools, their programs, whatever it is. Because you never know, you could be the dad or mom that kid never had, and you can have such a huge impact on their life that, you know, whatever happens in their life, they can attribute it to that moment you decided to take interest in them. Because we can go through the statistics of divorce, fatherless, motherless homes. We can talk about all that, but statistics are just numbers without meaning if we just view them in that way. What we need to do with these stats is we need to see, okay, so this is an issue. Then we ask the question, what can I do? And the application is quite simple. Go where people are wanting. Go where there is an absence, where there is a gap. This is an extremely biblical concept. I mean, all we have to do is look at the prophets in the Old Testament. There is a clear problem that the people of Israel are not doing what God says. So what does God do? He raises up a prophet, proclaims the warning, the message, and then some people repent, but not everyone. And so what happens then? God raises up another prophet and goes and speak and has him speak again. This is kind of the mindset we need to have. God might be raising you up to be someone's dad, to be someone's mom, for a time, just to be a mentor. And what you can do through that relationship could be, you know, something of eternal significance. But we have to look at it in the way of how Paul demonstrated his life at the end of 2 Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have poured myself out like a drink offering. At a drink offering, what you do is you don't pour a little bit out. The whole cup is emptied. And this is what God is calling us. How are we emptying ourselves for the good of others? And this might be one way that you can. You can be that light that someone needs. And it could be someone else's kid. It could be your own, but it could be someone else's. And this is the importance of why we need to go into these things. Now, also hear it again. If you're not able to, don't beat yourself up for it. You can only do what you are able to do. If you have some extra time that you can help out in certain ways, absolutely go for it. But if you cannot do it, please don't view yourself as a failure. Because that's what the video is originally pretty much saying, is you are a failure if you are not doing these things. And that is simply not true, because some people don't have time. My mom, she gave up more of her time than she had for me and my siblings and the things that we did. And I, you know, it's, she was a great example of that. But at the same time, she also did realize, hey, I'm sorry, Matt, I can't drive 2 hours to your soccer tournament. She just can't do that. And there are things that you are going to be able to do, and there are some things you aren't going to be able to do. But with the time you have available, You have to ask the question, what can I do? And that is what this conversation is stirring on.
Yeah. So, like we said, next week, we're going to dive in a little bit to what this looks like and how we encourage our kids, particularly in how they develop those new relationships as they're walking into new classrooms. Thank you all for listening. And yeah, we will be back same time, same place next week for part two and talk about how we encourage our kids in this. So thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.